Say with me, prophetic simulations.
Prophetic simulations.
What do you mean when we say simulations? Simulations can be defined as a preview, something that is seen and experienced. On behalf of the actual thing, this is how simple I can try to define it. Pilots fly a plane when they're done with their school of aviation. They have learned about how to fly a plane. They are put in what looks like a plane. And they sit inside it and have got everything there exactly as the plane. And they tell them, fly it. And it is not the actual plane. You go in there, and normally they put a crisis sometimes for you. How would you handle the crisis? And all the bells are giving signals that the plane is about to crash, or you have got a problem. How would you do it? So you have a simulation, and it's so actual. Sometimes it even becomes so real that you may even forget that it's drama. You can even scream. Are you here? It is a virtual reality that sometimes you even think you are actually seeing it, but it's not happening. You are being trained. How will you handle it when the plane in the air, one engine is not functioning? So they'll put up that condition for you, and you are in this thing that looks like a plane, and then it starts jerking, and you are inside. So what do we mean when we deal with simulations? When you read the Bible is full of simulations. The whole Bible, God trying to give you simulations before the actual thing have happened. Faith by its own, it's a simulation. Faith, we see what we have not yet seen in the physical. Tell your neighbor, faith is a simulator. We actually behold, we see things. Imagine that you are on a wheelchair. You're on the wheelchair, and just give an example of myself, and I'm standing there and I'm preaching, and then you start seeing yourself walking. You start seeing yourself walking. By the time I say rise up and walk, you'll be the first one to stand up, because you were seeing it. So there is a simulation already within you. So a simulation is seeing, experiencing a real life situation before actually living it. So faith is a simulation. One. Two, visions are simulations. In Genesis 15 verse 1, God appears to Abram in a vision. And God says to Abram, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Read verse 2.
Verse number 2. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?
3.
Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir.
All right, go ahead.
And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, verse 5.
Then he brought him outside and said, Look now.
Simulation. Let's look at the simulation.
Toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be.
Now, when we look at the whole scripture from here, we find out a simulation activity where God says, come. He says, look at the stars. He says, this is how your kids will be. But this is happening in a vision. So a vision, he's been taken to experience a reality that's not yet there. So Abram, he's being told, you have a child. So from there, when Abram is walking, he had an idea. He had a picture. He experienced it. Now the problem why so many people do not experience the power of reality, it is because they just say, I'm believing God for something, but they do not perceive it. They don't have a simulation to see. A simulation, it's not just a picture that comes and goes. No. If we can continue reading the scripture, God gave Abraham all moments, bad moments and good moments. God even told him, he said, your offspring, and they are not even born, your children shall inherit this land. They shall take over. And there shall be kings and kings from them. Good things. But then God also says, and there'll be a time they'll be captured. They'll go to a foreign land where they'll stay for 400 years. Bad thing. So a simulation does not only look at one input. I'm talking to somebody here. It does not only look at one thing. So you have to look at both. It takes maturity for God to start trusting you with the negative inputs. Say, this will happen, that will happen, that will happen also. Mary, she was not matured enough. That's why when God appeared to her, he only spoke to her good things. She had a simulation of good things only. You shall have a son. He shall be the Messiah. He shall be the king. She was never told he would die. So the simulation was only good things. Similarly, there are so many of you, when God was calling you, he only showed you good things, I'll use you. So when bad things begin to happen, you begin to wonder, like, what is going on over here? Because you did not have simulations. In the prophetic, there are simulations. When Jesus began to minister, he one time spoke to the mother and to everybody when he knew, I have taught them enough and they are matured now. He spoke to them, there'll be a time I'll go on the cross. So the mom now had a simulation of also bad things that are coming ahead. And he told everyone, at first they were just happy. When he's healing the sick, go and heal the sick. Cast out demons. The disciples will go out. Demons were coming out. They come back and say, hey, master, we are powerful. He said, no. Do not rejoice that you are casting demons. He said, rejoice your names are written in the book of life. They were excited and happy about it, but they didn't realize the bad other story they will be told. Then he comes to them and he said, I will die. They said, no, master, Jesus, Peter said, I rebuke you from saying this. He said, come here. He dragged Jesus aside and he said, I rebuke what you are saying. It will never happen. Jesus said, I rebuke you, Satan. Because what Jesus Christ is trying to tell them, he's telling them two things. One, a negative thing, but then that negative thing has got a better outcome. What does he say? I will rise. I will resurrect. So he's giving them a simulation. They should see death and they should see him rising. I'm talking to, say me. I imagine all you think right now, like, me, I'll be a billionaire. Praise be to God. You have no simulations. All you are seeing is I'll be a billionaire. There'll be time you go through problems like, what is this? You hit your head like this. But if you have simulations, you will know what we call prophetic calculus, an ability to navigate through complex times. Sometimes I'm listening very well. Prophetic ministry is a wise ministry. I've never seen a foolish prophet in the whole Bible. God doesn't call fools into the prophetic ministry. Trust you me. And I want you to get this. That's why prophetic ministry is affiliated with wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment, prophecy, visions. Because why would God show you? So you hear people say, I had a vision. Amen. I had a last night. It is a simulation. It is calling for calculus. Prophetic algorithms. How would you navigate? It's not just like, oh, we are praying. I had a vision. I saw myself. No. No. It's not just what we see. You must have a solution. God gave the people of Israel a simulation that they'll be captured and they'll go to Babylon where they'll stay for 70 years. That was a simulation. So they knew about it. Because you think are good things only. Oh, like from now, I'm going to have this miracle. But you don't know that those miracles will attract negativity. Enemies will come. There are people, right now as I'm talking to you, there are people somewhere, they're even talking about me. And I'm on a pulpit right now. There are people writing, they're commenting somewhere. I hate Bushi. They have never met me. They don't even know me. It's just because of where God puts you. Have you thought about it? If you are saying, I want a breakthrough, have you thought about it? What will come with that breakthrough? So tonight, I'm going to speak to you about the billionaire or the millionaire status simulation. Imagine God has blessed you. So I'm going to take you right now through your mind. Are you ready? Yes. We're going to have a game right now. We're going to have a mind game. Everybody, wherever you are right now. Imagine God has blessed you. Because remember we spoke about how the devil can also make people rich. Through corruption, through compromise, temptations. That's not the way we get our riches. We looked at how God blesses us. We're not talking that again because of time. But I want to take you into a simulation room. Just imagine. Forget about the car you're driving now. It's useless. Just imagine you've got a Rolls Royce. Two Ferraris. Your worker at home uses a Range Rover. Your garden boy uses a Mercedes to come to work. And your kids are dropped to school on a Cybertruck. Over on a mask. Just imagine. No, this is not funny. And I'm very serious about it. Imagine that in your account, there is $200 million. Imagine that there are 4 private jets at airport in your name. We are still doing simulations. Imagine you are living in a mansion with the 21 bedrooms. That sometimes you even get lost. Like, where am I? You have to make a phone call. But like in every corridor, there is a phone. There is what? You have to make a call and say, hey, Security, come and pick me. Send me GPS. No, no. We're still going there because I want you to know something that is very important. Why you're not getting miracles? Why financial blessings and miracles don't happen to so many people? I need a miracle. I need finances. I want a breakthrough. It does not happen. Listen, and I want you to get this. Why? In James 4, verse 3. Let's go there quickly.
You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures.
Simple. Now, let's just go there because we're going to simulations. And I'll try to see if we can manage to get this because it will help you when you pray God to answer you. Simulations help. They make you prophetic or prophetically wise. You begin to understand complex matters. What can happen if this can happen or that can happen? Being a billionaire does not mean you want to meet problems. Being rich does not mean you want to meet certain situations. Imagine that you are so rich. Just imagine. Imagine that you are in Forbes magazine. The whole world talks about you. First question before we start simulations, will you still be in church? Now, everybody right now will say, yes, I'll still be. Because it is poverty answering. It's like a person who's looking for a job. Ask them, what will you do for God? They'll even say, my first salary. I'll give it to God. It's joblessness that is talking. Get a job. After getting it, they'll be like, I want to sow a seed from my salary. They've changed now from a salary to a seed. Somebody says simulations. This will help you, and I promise you, it will change your whole thinking. Ask these questions. We are going there. Use my resources for the kingdom, or they'll be meant for my own pleasure, pride, and my own kingdom. Will I use what I have to help the poor? Will I become an advocate, a beacon of hope in the church of God? Or I will start finding faults now. Ask yourself questions. We are going there. We are going there. Because most of you, you came to church because you had a problem. Either you were sick, and when you came to church with your problem, then God also called you. There are so many people who came to our ministry, they're no longer in our ministry because what they were looking for, they got it and they went home. And there are people who, when they came looking for their solution, God called them and they stayed. But that question still stands. Why you respect your pastor? Why do you respect your prophet? Some of you, because you know you have got a need, you want him to pray for you. Will you still... Listen, you have a child who is sick. You know, I'll go to my prophet. He will pray for, and God will heal my child. Imagine you're a billionaire, and your child is sick. You have got ability just to fly your child on a private jet to India. They'll touch your child overnight. Your child is coming back. Will you still have the same respect towards God and towards men of God? What now you are relying on your prophet? This time around, you won't even need a prophet. You won't even need a prophet. Now you're panicking because people are fighting you. In that time, you have lawyers everywhere. You say, talk to my lawyer. Don't talk to me. Talk to my lawyer. You are panicking right now. will you still look, sit down and say, I need a prophet in life? Say with me, say simulations. Now that's a big question. And everybody will be like, oh, no, 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 me. I will still. My father, loyalty is tested by three things. Time, power, and money. If somebody comes to your best friend and say, I'm giving you this money, can you do this to him? They will do it. They may say they are loyal right now to you because there is no offer. Judas was so loyal to Jesus. There was no offer. The day an offer was given to say, we'll give you this amount of money, he betrayed Jesus. When you be given money, you will betray your own salvation, your own God, your own church. There are people who have done that to me, paid money to fight me. And these are people who are even close, very close. But they took money. And so we'll testify against him. Loyalty can be tested by what? Money? Time? It's just a matter of time. People who say they love you, they are loyal to you, it doesn't matter whether it's 10 years ago, whether it's 5 years ago, just give them time. You will see the true colors. One day you will see the true colors. It's just a matter of time. If they are loyal, indeed if they are loyal, they will be loyal forever. So power also tests loyalty. Your best friend becomes a president. You'll be calling them, they'll never answer you. Power. Three things that test loyalty. Now, we are getting into understanding, because most of you here, you have never thought about this. You have never had a simulation in the prophetic. Imagine I'm there. Now, we're going to look at simulation number one. Okay? We want to look at using your worth to fund global missions versus personal luxuries. Now we're going to have a simulation context. And this is a simulation context. You have received sudden influx of worth and faces the choice of using it for kingdom advancement or indulging in excessive luxury. You have a choice. God has given you finances. That's the simulation context we're having. You have a big breakthrough. And there are global missions. There are people out there who are dying with hunger. Some are dying in poverty. There are different projects in church of evangelism, prophetic channel, reaching out, building churches. So the simulation context we're looking at, imagine that you have money, you have a breakthrough, something has just happened. How do you use it? Now we have to look at a challenge. Balancing personal comfort with the need to invest in God's mission. Worth creates a new level of temptation for extravagant living. Worth creates a new level of temptations. How will you balance? Don't just say, I want to become rich. The Bible says you don't become it because you will spend it for your own pleasure. It says you will never become it because you are looking for it, but then you will spend it on your own pleasure. Balancing. How would you balance? How would you balance? If there's one thing God helped me, is never to forget, no matter what. My spiritual father, he has a lot of missions work. And I'm always on the amongst the top givers. Because I have to support the gospel. I have my own ministry. I sometimes forget myself to support because it is my obligation, it's my calling. The more I support him, the more God will raise people who God will say, you, your calling is to support the ministry of Major One. How do you balance? Because you will have a new level of temptation. The temptations you're having now are small level of temptations. You know, when you're not rich, the level of temptations are small. Are small. You are thinking, I need a breakthrough. I need to pay this. I need to handle rent. Rich people, their temptations right now is to get, I need a phone that has got gold all of it. As you are thinking right now with your small problems you have, rich people are not thinking about that. They're thinking about, how can I buy a house in the richest suburb? How do you balance? Because money is coming. You're too slow. No, the way you are receiving, that's where the whole problem. Holy money is coming. How do you balance? That's why Jesus said it's so difficult for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is so difficult. The fact that it is difficult does not mean that all rich people go to hell. The fact that you are rich does not mean you're going to go to hell. But the issue is, it is difficult. Underline that word, difficult. Because you have to balance. Imagine this. You have to balance. God has blessed you. Why has he blessed you? In the kingdom of heaven, we are blessed with the resources for stewardship. It is not ours. We are just keepers of his resources, ready to do whatever he wants us to do. Until you begin to pray these prayers, you say, God, if you give me, I will regard what you give me as yours. And I'll be ready to do what you want me to do with what you give me. You will never become rich. Until. So it's stewardship. How will you balance? The simulation context I've given you. Imagine that you have got a big breakthrough. An influx of money. How will you balance? How will you balance your calling of stewardship? So let's look at the spiritual test. How should you pass it? And that's remaining a channel of God's blessings while resisting greed or materialism. Remaining a channel of God's blessing. Can you raise up a hand and say, Father, as I raise my hand, I know you have blessed me. I will start seeing your blessings around me. I rebuke greed and materialism. May I not look at what I have. May I look at you. May I not depend what I have. May I not depend on what I have. May I depend on you. May I not look at my worth as the source of my strength. May I look at you as my source of everything. Oh Lord, help me. I pray for personal deliverance. Deliver me from greed. Deliver me from pride. Deliver me from the love of luxury. May I love you more than anything. May the wealth you're about to give me not take me out of your presence. Father, in the name of Jesus, may I become a steward of your resources, a custodian of your blessings. May people learn a lesson from my behavior. May the finances you give me become a pulpit, become a preaching to others, become a beacon of hope to the ministry, to the church, to the poor. So help me, God. Simulation number two. Let's go to simulation number two. Simulation number two. Testing whether worth deepens faith or fosters pride. In a simulation context, imagine your worth brings recognition, respect, and influence, potentially leading to pride. Would your worth make you have more faith in God and even more humble, or it will birth pride? Imagining that you are so rich that your riches have given you recognition. People know you in your area. Everyone respects you in town. It has given you recognition or influence because of resources you have. Will it deepen your faith, or it will bring in pride? Will you still be humble in your family gatherings? Will you still remain humble in your church? Will you still remain humble in your community? Or it will give in pride? Say with me, prophetic simulation of a billionaire status. Answer my question. If these simulations don't happen, we have a very big problem. Imagine everybody else respects you. Everyone talks good of you. If you're watching me now, wherever you're watching from, if you're understanding, wave your hand and some understanding. Will you still remain? Oh, there'll be pride now. Imagine that you're entering in church like that and an usher pushes you and you've got $1 billion in your account. I'm never coming here again. I'm leaving. Imagine you are sitting next to your friends and they're all billionaires and rich people. Then they begin to talk about your church. Your church is fake. And you have a status to protect. Will you stand for your faith? Or you begin to say, I used to go there. I stop just to comment to protect your status. Am I talking to somebody here? Will you develop pride? Even when you are praying to God, the attitude, will you still have the same attitude, or there'll be an element of pride? The status that God will give you must never change you. I pray for you wherever you are, because I know money is coming. When you hear a prophet coming to prepare you for money, it means that money is coming.
I receive.
I can't just come here to start preparing you for money and how you must behave when it comes and it's not coming. No. It is really coming. Say with me, money is coming.
Money is coming.
But this time around. Say with me, but this time around.
But this time around.
I will not behave like before.
I will not behave like before.
Are you here? Imagine that you have got all this recognition. Then they call you to speak in a gathering. How to become successful. You go there like this. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, I just want to talk about how to make money. Number one, you need to know working hard like me. You know, I come from a family that is so poor. But my mom one time told me that she will make it in life. People were laughing at me, but I believed what my mom told me. I began to work hard. Here I am today. You go there with the humility of God. First, I want to acknowledge God who has blessed me with the little I have. I know it's not mine. It all belongs to him. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a gathering of people where you don't care whether they are Muslims, whoever they are. They have to hear your testimony. You say, wherever you are, I want you to hear this. I had faith in God. I have faith in God. And this God helped me to be what I am. All the hard work that I work, it is because he gives me ability. And you begin to teach them, whether they are practical things that you want to teach them, that you should go and do, apart from your faith. But you speak from the basis of your faith. And everyone understands to say, this woman or this man has got God behind him. Are you here, somebody?
Yes.
Now, listen to this. Worth will give you status. I'm telling you. Worth will give you what?
Status.
Worth will give you status. Now imagine you have got a status. Would you still fast? In your house, I'm telling you, what to be fasting for? Because now the only time you fast is because you want someone to die by fire. Someone who's giving you problem at workplace. Fall down and die. Now the only time you fast because you have a problem. The only time you fast because you have got a need. Will you still fast to ask God for wisdom? Or you begin to think you are very wise. You are too sharp. You are intelligent already. You have got money. You don't need to ask God for wisdom. Do you know what killed Samson? Pride. He reached a level whereby he would just say, I will do as I do always. I will kill the Philistines as I do always. Even when God left him. He said, I will do as I do always. But God had left him. And he wanted to do it one hand. A young boy just grabbed his hand like this. There was no strength. He hit him, he was down. He removed his eyes, he was blind. Where are my strength? Where are my strengths? What just happened to me? There was pride. Some of you, you're going to get into a level whereby you begin to say, I don't even have to fast to pray for the next business deal. This is how I do it. I've got connections. I'm now connected to people of power. I'm connected to politicians, to anyone else. Will you still fast for wisdom? Will you still pray for guidance? Will you still come for IVP to say, I've come here. I want God to intervene over this matter. Will you still do it, or you begin to rely on your lawyers, on your connections, on the people you have? Pride will come in. Someone say, I rebuke pride.
Rebuke.
Say louder, I rebuke pride.
I rebuke pride.
As this man is coming.
As this man is coming.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Help me now.
Help me now.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I pray for humility.
I pray for humility.
I pray for wisdom.
I pray for wisdom.
I pray for my faith.
I pray for my
even
faith.
Even to grow more stronger.
Even to grow more stronger.
Are you seeing this simulation number two? Are you seeing these simulations? Very powerful simulations, right? You see the first one? You see the second one? Uh-huh. Now, let's look at this. So, we are looking at simulation number two, testing whether worth deepens faith or encourages or fosters or produces pride. Simulation context, you have accumulated so much worth that brings recognition, respect, and influence, potentially leading to pride. Challenge: staying humble while managing power and influence. You have a challenge. Staying humble inside power and influence. Are you getting me? Are you hearing me? Imagine I've got even bodyguards. Everywhere you have everything, anything you want. And then someone says, I need a lift. And you see what they're dressing. And they're entering your clean car. How will you manage these things? How do you manage these things? The key question we have on this simulation number two: does wealth make you depend on God more or less? There are people right now used to depend on God on anything. Right now, you are, but it's less because you got a job now. Does it make, because worth can become a weapon from the devil to bring you down. Worth can become a weapon from God to take you up spiritually. Does it make you become what? More spiritual or less? That's a key question. Now we want to ask each other, from the point where you are as a billionaire. Remember, it's a simulation. You are at a billionaire status. Now let's go there. You are a billionaire. I'm not talking about now, outside the simulation. Are you relying on God more or not? Now create a scenario in your mind where something has happened and you've got a lot of money and they need you to make a payment. And at the very same time, you have God to depend upon. I know you use your money to pay. But are you dependent on Him? Does it make you more spiritual or less? I pray in the name of Jesus that money will never become a weapon to take you to hell.
Yes.
I pray in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That the money should not become an issue, that God should stop blessing you because He knows you will become proud. I pray that God, He should remove His hand of not helping you, of withholding His blessings, because He thinks it will lead you to destruction because of your character. I plead with Him tonight.
Yes.
God, your child gives himself to you tonight.
Yes.
That only if you bless them tonight,
yes, Lord,
it will not take them away from your presence.
Yes, Lord.
They have heard your message, yes, and your warning, and they will remain humble. And that their faith will even grow stronger and stronger.
Yes,
Father, I pray against the spirit that can take them to destruction. May their worth lead them to sponsor your kingdom. May their worth lead them to help the poor. May they become the beacon of hope to those who are perishing. May they move in dimensions they've never moved, of believing your name inside their worth. Say, help me, God.
Help me, God.
Spiritual assignment that I'm going to give you. You must intentionally cultivate humility and acknowledge God as the source of all success from now. Intentionally acknowledge from now. Begin to be doing that. Whatsoever small, say thank God. You know, it is because of God begin to do that. Cultivate that culture. Have that ability in you of acknowledging God in almost everything successful around you. It will help you when the money comes. It will find you as that type of a person. Cultivate that culture. Live that culture. Be in that culture. It must be you. Or someone will come and say, wow, hey, you spoke so well. Say, oh, we thank God. Oh, wow, your house is looking so beautiful. Tell them, we thank God. They'll come to you and they say, wow, you look so beautiful. Tell them, all the glory be to God. Not, oh, yeah, I know, I know, right? I look cute, right? Like, oh, you're so beautiful. Like, I know. I look cute, right? I know it. Do you know my secret? Like, seriously? You even have a secret. Do you know my secret? For me to look like this? I just eat, you know? I have what things, that's my secret. Just to say, oh, we thank God. If you want to teach them on your eating routines, you can tell them to say, oh, I thank God that he helps me. You know, it's not easy, but you know, I choose what to eat. You know, I thank God for the grace. I thank God. You must cultivate a culture, a behavior. God must be seen in everything around you. Because money is coming. I am a prophet. I didn't just wake up with a microphone to tell you this. God wants to amend something around you. God has put you in a surgical room. And he's operating certain behavior, attitudes, and habits. He's taking them out through this teaching. Wait, by the time I'll be finishing, I will leave you there in the simulation. You will see what God will give you. I promise you. You will see what God will give you.
I receive.
Faith action. I want to give you faith action under this simulation. Prioritize kingdom work. Sponsoring the ministry. Sponsoring the kingdom. Identify impact missionary projects to support. Identify the poor. Support the needy and those who don't have. I repeat. Prioritize kingdom work. Identify kingdom projects. Mission projects in the church. Identify them. What can I do? How can I do? Budget for the poor. How can I touch others? That's faith action. Imagine that God says, do this, and you can't. Do you know that God wants you to do something for him? But you have nothing to do what God wants you to do. You have no resources. Is that a good thing? You must be at a point where when God says, do this, you do it. You know how God looks at you, right? He doesn't look at you as a beggar. The Bible says you shall not borrow. But you shall what? You shall lend to nations. God looks at you from that point of view. That you are a person, when people come to you, they should be coming to borrow, not you. I wish I could borrow some money somewhere. That's not who God looks at you at. Like, understand that. So prioritize. Take faith action. Be a person who can give God. Who can support your church. Who can support your ministry. Take actions of faith. Because if you don't, pride will come in. We don't want pride, we rebuke it. Support the poor. Love to give the poor. God wants you to do something. God wants you to do something. Will it foster pride or actually make you love God the most? Just raise your two hands. I want to pray for you because enough is enough. Your money must come. Your money must come. Your blessings must happen. Yes. I don't know whether it's through the projects you have been applying, doing. Your money is coming. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everybody raising up their hands. As they go into personal deliverance, that you hear them. Say, Father, raise my hands.
Raise my hands.
Deliver me now.
Deliver me now.
From any habit.
From any habit.
Behavior.
Behavior.
Attitude.
Attitude.
In me.
In me.
That is not right.
That is not right.
Before your presence.
Before your presence.
To steward your resources.
To steward your resources.
To custodian your resources.
To custodian your resources.
Oh Heavenly Father.
Oh Heavenly Father.
Prepare me now.
Prepare me now.
Prepare me now.
Prepare me now.
For your resources.
For your resources.
For your kingdom wealth.
For your kingdom wealth.
For your holy money.
For your holy money.
Prepare me now.
Prepare me now.
As I raise my hands.
As I raise
I rebuke pride.
I rebuke
any behavior,
in me,
that is not of you.
That is not of
I
you.
Command it out.
I command
as
it
I
out.
Prepare myself
as I prepare
to manage your resources.
To manage your
begin to pray. Begin